Kia ora, and welcome to another teaching from Every Nation Christchurch. For more information and resources, visit everynation.org.nz. Check us out on Facebook.
Last week we spoke on hope, and I was just so encouraged the number of people who messaged me and thanked me for the message, because I think it's something that we all face. And last week I spoke on glistening with hope. Does every area of your life glisten with hope? And if not, if it's not glistening with hope, we're believing a lie. And if you want to, and when we believe a lie, we give the enemy a foothold into our lives, because then he capitalizes on us believing the lie. Until we deal with it ruthlessly, and we replace the lie with truth. And where do we get truth? Truth comes from God's word. And so this morning I want to speak on how to glisten with hope. I want to be very, very practical this morning. And so I want to share some tools that I use from God's word to help in the whole area of hope when I have believed lies. And last week I spoke about some of the lies. And you know, a lie can come in a twinkling of an eye, and it can change you in that moment. And so sometimes it's progressive, but sometimes it can be instantaneously. And so I want to just take a moment this morning, and then I want to pray for people. I shared with a prayer meeting beforehand, and it's something I've said before here at the church, is that how many of you have ever been hungry for food? I mean, for some people, it's all the time. I mean, I still remember when my kids were teenagers and students, I mean, we struggled to keep our fridge full of food. And even nowadays, little Jackson would come into the house in Israel. The first thing they'll go to is their drawer where Gigi has put their snack food in. And they just want to eat, eat, eat. But the incredible thing about physical hunger is that when you've eaten, you're satisfied. Some of you. But for spiritual hunger, the more you hunger, the more you want. And I pray that you will be so hungry for God. Because the more you taste and see, the more you will want. You know, Colleen, myself, Roderick, Bradley, Nathan, Kirsty, we went up to a gathering in Auckland on Saturday. Which was yesterday, Saturday, past yesterday. I love it when my wife speaks to me from the front row. And it was, the whole conference was called Release the Healers. And the guy never advertised, but word of mouth, because he was looking for hungry people that are going to impact this nation. And I'm sure if you knew about it, you would have been there as well. Fortunately, we got to hear about it. And we're hungry. We're hungry for more. We're hungry for what God has for us. I'm hungry for signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. And so without advertising, they packed out a church venue of 450 people. And they had a waiting list of about 80 other people without advertising. These are people around New Zealand who are hungry for more. And it's in the area of signs and wonders and miracles. And my prayer, and I know for the team that went up, I'm sure for you, I'm trusting God for signs, wonders, and miracles. So when I share God's word here this morning, I'm praying for miracles that will go to work in your life. That you do not have to live with the lies that the enemy has sown in our lives. But that as we replace it with truth, we can walk in victory every moment of every day. And when you know God's word and you apply his word and you do his word, you will experience the victory that he promises us in his word. We do not have to entertain sickness in our body. We do not have to entertain the attacks of the enemy. We do not have to keep holding on to the lies that we embrace about ourselves. But when we know God's word, when we read his word, when it becomes alive in our lives, when we apply the word to our lives, victory is possible in every situation. It's not just a select situation. Then it becomes like a lottery. It's possible in every situation if you truly believe. Tap the person next to you, say, are you listening? Let me just summarize. Last week I spoke about what is hope. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present. But if you want to write anything down, write that down. It's free of charge. Hope is the belief that the future, now the future can be later this afternoon. The future can be tomorrow. The future can be next year. But whatever it is, I know for the All Blacks, they're hoping that there's a change that can happen, that next Saturday, hopefully they can pull off a victory. New coach. New players. Anyway, actually, Nathan said that, I didn't. But it's a hope, and I pray that you were going to burn with hope. Hope is based on the goodness and the promises of God. If you don't know God's word, friends, you will never know his promises. You will never know how to live your life and the life of obedience. That's why I encourage you, Leadership 215. I praise God for the few students that are hanging on. Now, some of you look very uncomfortable. But it's when you know God's word, things begin to happen. Hope is important. It gives us a reason to wake up every morning. I mean, I wake up. I'm excited to be alive at a time like this. I'm excited for what God wants to do in this nation. You know, when I looked at the 450 people yesterday from all different churches and different denominations, they had one goal in mind. They want to see the kingdom of God manifested in this nation. And his prayer was, God give, he said, when he prayed, he said, God give me 10 people that'll be on fire. He had 450 and 80 on the waiting list without advertising. We hope that he'll come next year when we're in our new building just to release something into our lives. Where are we? Hopelessness, just not a perspective we have on life. Hope is who God is. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. If you're believing a lie this morning, the good news is that there is something you can do about it. Come on, let's be honest with one another. How many of you have believed a lie or lies in the past? I have. Both feet are up. If I put both feet up, I'd fall on my bottom. It happens to all of us. None of us are excused. I said last week, I have to fight battles just like you. You know, being a pastor, and I go through the same challenges. I have to fight the same battles. I have to fight the same insecurities. I have to fight things just like you do. But I've learned that there is a way to deal with them. And that is what I want to share with you this morning. You see, when we embrace lies, it gives the enemy a foothold in your life. That's truth number one. When you embrace a lie about yourself, you give the enemy a foothold. I mentioned last week when one of my testimonies that when I went through my major depression, I would say to myself, I'm not a good father, I'm not a good husband. And as I kept declaring that lie, it gave the enemy a foothold in my life that then began to spiral out of control into depression, major depression, and even suicidal. And that's what happens when you believe a lie. If you don't catch it, it can spiral out of control and it can destroy your life, it can destroy your marriage, it can destroy relationships. But God, say but God. But the incredible thing is that when you replace it with truth, you can walk in victory, you can walk in power, you can walk with a jump in your step, and you can walk in the fullness of God, and God can use you to do incredible things because you know the truth. And the Bible says when you know the truth will set you free. And it's for freedom that that Christ went onto the cross and died. Are you Shwinning's mom?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you look different. It's younger, you look younger. Sure, welcome, it's so good to have you. Are you here for 2 years? Okay. Hallelujah. Man, I looked at you and I thought, you look familiar. But it's for freedom that Christ has come. You've got to believe God's word. You see, if God's word, when you apply his word correctly, if you do not experience freedom, then the power of God's word has lost its power. That same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each one of us. And so when we face situations, when we face that lie, and we can go to God's word and say, I'm feeling this way, and I know it's not from you, Lord. What is your word for me that I can replace that lie with the truth of his word? Because I want to walk in freedom and the fullness of what you have for me. Friends, none of us are excused. Lies come to us every day. You know, I'll never get a job. That's a lie. You know, I'm just trying to think of some lies. Give me a lie. I'm too old. God will never use me. I've passed my due by date. My faith is not strong enough. I'm too young. Let me tell you something about young people. There's no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. Do you know Charlie and Jackson and your little ones can pray for the sick and they can get healed. It's not only the adults that can pray. Kids pray. Give me some more lies. We're not going to see miracles. I'll never be successful. This side's very quiet. I'll never be healed. All right, let's go to the side. The back row. Anybody? I'm not good enough. I'm ugly. I mean, I'm not saying that about myself, but it's a lie. God's not going to provide for me. You see, there's so many lies that we entertain and we believe it and then we spiral out of control until you know the truth. So the question is, what can we do? For me, here is one way that can help every single one of us in this whole area of lies. It's found in Romans chapter 15. Actually, I don't think that's the right scripture. I mean, that's not the right reference. If somebody can give it to me, I forgot to change that. It's 12 verse 1, 12 verse 2, I think. My apologies. I see, I'm even observant. How many of you picked it up? No, you didn't. You didn't. All right, this is it. This is it. It says the following. Do not. Say do not. Do not. You know what another word for do not is? Stop it. Stop believing the lies. Turn to the person next to you and say it with passion. Stop it. It says do not, do not, do not. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be he transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now the word conform is identity with or comply with. That's conform. Another one is everything that is contrary to the truth of his word is conforming to the world. Now last night we all of us, we were on the same flight back to Christchurch. And I just don't like it when the pilot says, you know, it's going to be a pretty bumpy ride. How many of you already, the lies are coming, you know? And then I start praying in the spirit. Good. Did you pray in the spirit? Yeah. I know Bradley and Roderick spoke nonstop for an hour all the way back. I don't know, it was nervous talking that they spoke all the time. But yeah, it's amazing how your mind immediately goes to a place where it shouldn't go. Somebody told me once, I think it was a pilot told me once, the aeroplane is the safest mode of transport there is. I mean, the chances of anything happening is like one in a billion. And then that first bump hits. I watched the guy sitting next to Colleen. He was holding the seat. It was almost like he was trying to lift the seat up. It wasn't Nathan. It wasn't Pastor Nathan. But it's amazing when something happens, our default always goes to the way the world thinks. The world thinks fear. The world thinks, you know, if you watch social media, if you look at the young people today, how they bully one another. It's the worldly way of doing things. But I really believe God wants us to start thinking differently. We have to think differently. We have to behave differently. We cannot conform and identify with the way the world thinks. Because the way the world thinks is, oh my goodness, I don't have a job. And oh, the government are giving us over the next 3 months some money if you earn over 70,000. Oh my goodness, Jehovah Jireh is working through the government. You see, we have to think differently. You see, God is my provider. My hope, my faith, my trust is in Him and Him alone. Of course, it'll be great to get that little blessing. But let's not put our hope and our faith and trust in earthly things. Because they could be taken just like that. It's so sad to go to airports around the world, to Singapore and places that we've been to post-COVID, and to see the places, the shopping malls empty. The shop's not here anymore. The shop's not here anymore. And it's very sad to see how people have lost their businesses. So I'm talking small business. I mean, even bigger businesses have really taken strain. But God. But God. I love this. It says there, but be he transformed by the renewing of your clothing. No, it doesn't say clothing. Some of you think a new outfit is going to bring about a change in your marriage. No, it's not going to. It might last, and your husband might see and say, wow, you look amazing one day, but then the next day, that's secondhand clothing. But it's renewing of your mind, say mind. It's renewing of your mind, say mind. You've got to renew your mind. In other words, your thinking determines how you live and how you behave. Your thinking determines how you live and how you behave. And if you don't change what happens here, your actions and behavior will not change. I try to find a nice picture of a mind. I think it's the best one. I wish I was an artist because I'd draw my own. So if we look at this mind here, and I'm just going to use, you know, we've all got default neurological pathways. I'm not a scientist. I'm an educationist by trade. And so when I look at people's minds, and this is the color blue, let's just say that these are default worldly pathways in our minds. So when something happens, it goes to the default. So the question is, what is your default? So if there's a marital tension, what's your default? Is your default, I'm going to give my wife the silent treatment for 2 weeks? Because when we first got married, that's what I used to do until I had to change my default pathways. I used to give Colleen the cold shoulder for many days. I wouldn't even talk to her. It was such a waste of time. And she wanted to talk. I mean, she was this happy-go-lucky, and it felt like I'd swallowed a lemon because I was the miserable person. She was the happy person. I'm thinking, why are you so happy? I didn't tell her that, but that's in my mind. Why are you so happy? We've just had this challenging situation. And I was determined to dig my heels in. Oh, she's not going to get the better of me. I'm not going to forgive. Now, Colleen said I should have just gone to sit at the cross. But that was my default pathway. In so many areas in our life, when I mentioned I wasn't a good dad, I had grooved out another pathway for a season. That's there. It's default. Something happens, default pathway, and you behave and you react in that situation. And I can think of many examples when you've got default pathways. I'm sure you can think of some. But what you have to do, what is the result? What can we do? Sean and them live out in Sumner, and with all the rain, wow, it's been raining. Everything's just wet. Maybe it's not raining in your suburb, but where we are, it's like raining. My grass is like wet. I can't even mow it. But there's a waterfall near their house. And when it rains, the water always goes to the default pathway. And it just, it's like a waterfall crashing down. Now, if they wanted that waterfall not to fall there, they've got to go to the top of the mountain, block it up, and purposefully dig another pathway. So when the rain comes, it'll fall in that. And in our lives, in our mental capacity, and in our brains, these are all, let's call them all our lies we've believed. And we've got to replace every single one of them with the truth. Know the truth, declare the truth, live the truth. And the more you do it, that those things will start fading away and other lines start develop in our minds. What do we do? The first thing is we have to repent of the lie. You've got to repent. First, you've got to recognize it, and then you've got to repent. You have to repent. Repent is turning away. It's not turning towards it again. It's turning away. When you turn away, there's a blocking that comes. And when you replace it with the truth of God's word, you start creating another pathway. And as you replace it, that then becomes the default pathway. But it's got to be done purposefully, intentionally, and you do it over and over and over again. I can't remember the statistics, so maybe somebody can shout it out here. In order to create a new habit, you've got to do it for 21 days. Is that right? 2 weeks? So you've got to declare this new truth at least 2 weeks. Declare it, talk it, live it for 2 weeks for that new pathway to happen. 3 months. Okay, for that relationship, it's 3 months. Okay, so it might be longer for some of you. Okay, I love the honesty. And so I just, as I close, it's repenting, it's replacing it with truth. So for example, if you have a problem with your identity and you believe that lie, shout out from where you are. What truth can you tell me? What does God's word say about you? Sorry? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God's word, let it become alive in you and let you declare it. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, we can do that with every single situation, every lie. There is a promise in God's word that is truth. Read it, get revelation of it. Wow, is that what God think about me? Declare it, and that's why we have the 40-day devotional. I would encourage you, do the devotionals, because there's some teaching and there's some declarations you and I can make every single day. Declare that for 21 days, but for the Thessalonians is 3 months, because they say 3 months for behavior to change, and declare it and declare it and declare it and watch what God will do. I want to just touch on three situations quickly. Where do we see this in the Bible? Moses in the Red Sea. He's got the Egyptian army following him. He's leading 1 million Jews to the promised land, and he faces the Red Sea. And he's got water in front of him, the army coming behind him. What is he going to do? You see, friends, I don't know what situation you're facing this morning. Do you have a Red Sea? You feel the enemy coming from behind, and you look in this, and you see hope in the future. What are you going to do? Do you have faith for a miracle that God can do some parting? And I'm not talking about hair parting. Parting of the Red Sea. What sea are you facing this morning where you need God to part it so you can walk through it? But you have to know God's truth. Because the lie is, oh, the enemy's after me, the enemy's after me. The truth is, if you walk in faith, watch what God will do. Are you with me this morning? The second picture I've got here is, it was the widow at Zarephath with Elijah. Elijah came and asked for her last bit of meal, and he said, make something for me first, then feed your child. Desperate situation, famine. She only had enough little food to bake bread for her son and give him some food, and then they were going to die. Man, what hope. You see, friends, I don't know if you're in a desperate situation this morning and you only have a little. And I really believe if you are obedient to what God says, watch God perform a miracle. But you got to do it God's way. You can't do it your way. You see, your natural gifting and abilities is brilliant. I love it. But sometimes you got to find out, God, in this situation, I'm in a desperate situation. I need you to come through. I need to do it your way and your way only. And then this lady experienced miracles. What was her miracle? The flour and oil never ran out. Never ran out. Got to do it God's way. David and Goliath. I mean, this is amazing thing, amazing story. Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel. And here comes this young boy. Saul wanted to give him all the armor. He said, nah, I'm just going to wear what I'm wearing. And if he was a Kiwi bloke, it'll just be shorts, vest, jandals, and off to the river, picks up 5 stones. But let me tell you something. He saw the giant, but he knew his God. And do you know how he knew his God? What did he do before that? He killed a bear. He killed a lion. And he was an incredible worshiper. And he knew who his daddy was. Picked up the stone, took out the giant. What giants are you facing today? I love Bradley's message a couple of weeks back when he spoke about celebrating little victories. That's what David did. Lion, bear, worshiper, maybe a sheep, mouse, I don't know. But he remembered who God was in his life. And he took it out. Do you have testimonies of a lion, of a bear? Because you can take out the giant with God. All you need is 1 stone. And I believe that 1 stone is a 1 stone of faith and declaration and the promise of God. That Goliath will fall in your life. Lastly, for me, this is the most powerful story. It's the story of Jesus. Luke 22:42 says, Father, if you willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Friends, I want to encourage you. You know what? When I read that passage of scripture, you see, when we walk with God by faith, it's not my will. It's God's will. It's not my thinking. It's God's word. It's not me formulating positive thinking. No, no. It's the promises of God's word that I declare. Watch what God will do in your life. I dare you to believe. I dare you to declare. I dare you to hold on to the promise of God and watch your situation change. Do you know, I don't know how many of you noticed when you came into the facility this morning, it's got Papa Hua. Is that how you pronounce it? Coming into the building. And I just thought, no, we're going to rename this place Papa God, Abba Father, here. We've got to know who our God is. Let me close by saying, what lies are you believing today? What default pathways do you have to purposefully block? What new godly life-giving pathways need to be established? It's a simple decision that you and I have to make. It's a simple decision. Let me close by reading the passage from Romans. The reference is wrong. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, friends, when we walk in this revelation, read the rest of the verse, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. It's all about God and being obedient to His word. Renewing your mind is simply embracing His word and